Is your headmaster about to go on strike? Now, I want to speak to Jerry Cameron, who's president of the National Association of Head Teachers. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning.
Are head teachers about to go on strike? Can this be stopped? Just put us in the picture as to what the National Association of Head Teachers are doing at this present moment in time.
Okay, well, Frank, all the female head teachers out there would not speak to me again if I didn't correct you in your first line of headmasters.
Did I use the term headmasters?
You did.
I didn't realise.
That's fine. No, they're not about to go on strike, but you know, you're quite right in saying that head teachers in Northern Ireland have taken part in an indicative ballot, and that has strongly indicated that they are feeling very exercised at the moment about the entire situation that they find themselves in, not just in regard to the budget crisis in education that we're all very well aware of, but other workload-related matters are just coming to a bit of a head. So
it's not necessarily about money. This, it's about the last straw. The camel's back's about to be broken because other teachers are taking industrial action. There's work to rules. There's all sorts of restrictions. They're not cooperating with the inspectorate, and it's all backlogging towards the head's door. Is that right?
Yes, I mean, you've described it pretty well there. I mean, the NHT would totally agree with the industrial action that teachers are taking. We recognise that it's a legitimate trade dispute. We have not been a part of that up to now because we strongly believe that the action, over the last number of years, has been allowed to go on for far too long. It has had, it may well have a longer legacy that we've yet to see the outworkings of that. But the immediate impact of it has been on our members, on head teachers who have held the line, who've managed the system, kept the schools going, kept it running in the face of other adversities as well. And you're quite right, it is just the straw that has broken the camel's back. I mean, head teachers are a moderate group of people. You know, we tend to like to maintain the status quo. We tend to like to keep consistency and the routine for our children and young people so that they can flourish in our schools, and that's what every child wants, every parent wants for their child. But we're feeling very put upon. We feel as if we're taken for granted. We have extreme adversity in a range of areas of our professional working life at the moment, and it's just proving too much. And finally, we had to ask our members whether or not that strength of feeling would translate into an escalating of our action, and it has, and it's quite shocking.
How would it manifest itself? What would the head teacher not do that he or she does now? And how would it impact on the parents and, most importantly, on the children?
Okay, well, first of all, I should say that the last thing that we want to do is engage in this action, and the last thing that we will ever do is have a negative impact on the children, young people and their parents. Our action would be directed at disrupting the employers, disrupting the employing authorities, so that they step up to the mark and take some decisive action to bring the industrial action on behalf of the teachers to an end by affecting a pay rise and a workload review. But on top of that, we would also need to protect our members contractually. So any action that we take going forward will be very carefully considered. There will be nothing, there'll be no school front doors locked, there'll be nothing like that happening. In the short term, we will be convening our regional executive and having a very considered look at the next steps. This is an indicative ballot, which is a legal element to any kind of strike action that an organisation takes. So it's very carefully considered, and there'll be nothing dramatic, but we will be taking action that will disrupt employers rather than disrupt the children and young people who we have, after all, been working so hard to maintain over the last 7 years of the industrial action.
Yeah, the employers, and I know you can describe employers in different ways, but the principal employer is in hiding at the moment. We have no government, so are they concerned about this? Are the major parties concerned about it, or is it so far down their list of priorities that even though they may nod in agreement with you, they're doing absolutely nothing?
Well, I can say the same as any citizen in Northern Ireland would say. Northern Ireland would be better if we had a government in place. There's no doubt about that. There are many decisions that are waiting and outstanding recommendations, consultations in regard to education that can't happen at the moment. But it can't be used as an excuse for a continued vacuum. We were in Stormont yesterday. We had representatives from across all the parties. They were all saying the same thing. If we could get back into government, then we could move all this forward. We could change this. That may or may not be true. The simple fact is it's not going to happen, so therefore we can't sit back and wait for it to happen. There doesn't seem to be any light at the end of that tunnel politically, and that's not for me to particularly comment on. But what we would say right now is that there's a generation of children who are in school today, right now, who need to be served to the highest standard. We can't have a situation where children in school today get less than children got in school 10 years ago. That's not wrong. That's regression, not progress. So, you know, while our political vacuum at the moment is trotted out as a reason for not doing many, many things, we would see very much that, you know, there is a capacity within our system to ensure that the best is available to every learner.
So who are you aiming it at? Who in the department, who in education, who in the civil service can make it happen for you?
Well, I mean, we would suggest that at the moment we are not sure if there is insufficient money in the education budget. There may well be, but we would like to know for sure that the money that we do have is being spent to its best. It's similar to the health service. There is undoubtedly ways in which there could be a review of how money is spent and how services reach our children and young people in their schools. If you look at the SEN provision, there is undoubtedly room or capacity to look at how the money has been spent, how it should get to the end user and isn't getting to the end user. And we know that's not just us saber rattling. That is fact, and that was highlighted in the Northern Ireland Audit Office report last year. That is something that we feel has been largely swept under the carpet. We don't see any evidence of that being addressed. So if it's good value for money, let it be seen to be good value for money. As I said yesterday, if this was a health service and there was insufficient money to keep the lights on in the hospital, it would be closed, operations would be cancelled, appointments would be cancelled. It doesn't seem to have the same impact in education. Head teachers do not want to be in the business of striking or taking any kind of industrial action, but unfortunately we're being pushed into it.
But are you prepared to make changes? Are you prepared to do some of the things that are happening in the health service where hospitals are closing and there's a realignment and there's a major report into what way the health service needs to go? Whereas we look around Northern Ireland and there are some schools that are bursting and breaking point and the teachers can't cope, and there are other little country schools that are quietly going on about their routine, and you could easily argue that they could be closed and money could be saved and schools could be amalgamated.
Well, you know, that argument has been made now for a number of years. I would say two things there. There aren't as many empty desks in Northern Ireland as people tend to think there are. Yes, there's a demographic issue in terms of the distribution of the population, but there aren't as many empty desks as was once thought. So that needs to be reconsidered. That argument needs to be realigned. And the second thing is there has been no comprehensive costing exercise done on whether or not it is value for money to close rural schools or to close small schools under the sustainability criteria. It's very arbitrary sustainability criteria set for schools. And, you know, what evidence base is there? We haven't got any evidence base that there would be a saving from closing schools and transporting children, never mind the adverse impact that might have on them long-term or on communities. So what we're saying is that we don't know if we don't have enough money. We don't know if the money we have has been properly spent. We need to have transparency on how the education budget is currently distributed. Only 59% of the budget actually makes it to a school. 41% of it stays centrally. But we need to know that 41% is accounted for, it's scrutinised and audited in the same way as schools are scrutinised and audited and made heavily accountable. Quite rightly, it's public money. So, you know, in answer to your question, I'm not 100% sure, and simply because we don't have the facts to back up the assertion that there needs to be a restructuring of schools.
Gerry, thank you very much for your time this morning. Thank you. Gerry Cameron is the president of the National Association of Head Teachers, and there are problems in schools, and if the government can't see those problems, well, then they have head in sand. Oh, did we suggest that our government might have their head in the sand?